Psalm 105, page 607 in the Pew Bibles. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, look to the Lord and his strength, and seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are all in the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree. To Israel as an everlasting covenant, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but a few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased, and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his miraculous signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and he made the land dark, for had they not rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in their land, ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the firstfruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold. From among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked and he brought them quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out like a river and it flowed in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm in the habit of breaking the internet in the sense that I kind of normally press the wrong button. I thought this morning we could have a go at putting together the sermon that breaks the internet because it's going to go viral. So I've got YouTube keep giving me these clips, and I don't know what it is about the algorithms on YouTube. They keep sending me these adverts for Peloton, and they have these very enthusiastic instructors in Peloton. So I'm going to give us the motivational sermon for the year that is going to break the internet. This is going to go viral with all the people who can't find it. You know, we can't actually find the sermon on YouTube, thankfully. But okay, here we go. It's New Year, new you. All right, it all starts here, it all changes right here, right now. This is the year when everything changes. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Do you appreciate just what that means? You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. This is the year when everything changes. You are going to, you can stop smoking. This is the year you're going to stop smoking. You're going to eat less. You're going to drink more water. You're going to drink less alcohol. You're going to eat more vegetables. You're going to go to bed earlier. You're going to get up earlier. You're going to take more exercise. Everything is going to change. You're going to drink more water, haven't we? You're just going to be a better person. You're going to read your Bible more. You're going to pray more. You're going to be the greatest Christian ever. Right, here's what you've got to do. The past is that way. You've got to put the past behind you. There's the future. You've got to move into the future. You mustn't be defined by your past or held back by your past. It's all about the future now. Everything changes right here, right now. I can't keep this rubbish up any longer. Do you know what? You've heard that kind of thing, haven't you? This is the start of the rest of your life. What's wrong with that? I mean, apart from the kind of personality change that I've had to go through for that. What's wrong? Well, for a start, this isn't a new you, is it? There are only two, to use the technical word, there are only two ontological changes a person can go through in their life. Only two changes in their very being. One is to get married, and the other is to become a Christian. If you get married, you become one flesh with someone. If you become a Christian, you're born again, you become a new person. Unless either of those happen to you between going to bed last night and getting up this morning, in which case, many congratulations. Unless you got married or became a Christian last night, you are the same you you were yesterday. Isn't that a discouraging thought? I didn't have the time management skills or the cartilage in my right knee to train for a marathon this year. I didn't have that yesterday, and I still don't have it today. If you were a highly motivated person yesterday, it's possible that you have the motivation and just that extra impetus of a new year that a habit might stick. And maybe that there's something would come out of it with positive changes. If you drink more water this year, you might get fewer headaches and life might be better, but it's not going to change who we are at the deepest level, is it? I mean, that if we want to change, even if we took up a really good habit like reading the Bible more. In itself, that's not going to change us, is it? Pharisees read the Bible loads. In a sense, my goal this year is to read the Bible less. That's kind of really weirded everyone out. But what do I mean by that? I want to read the Bible less in the sense that I kind of just move the bookmark on a few more chapters each morning. I want to feed off the Bible more. I don't want to read it just as another chore to tick off my list. And if I'm very motivated and disciplined, maybe I can do that. By itself, it's not going to change me. But there's another problem. It's not just that new year, new you doesn't work. This idea that we've got to put the past behind us doesn't work either. Because Psalm 105 says, if you've got it open, page 607, verse 5, it says, "Remember the wonders he's done." There's a sense in which as Christians, what do? We walk into a new year. We walk into the future facing backwards. We want to be looking back at least as much as we're looking forwards. We want to have our eyes fixed on who God is in the past. Because if the discouraging news is that I haven't changed since yesterday, the wonderful news is that God hasn't changed since yesterday. Hasn't changed in the last 2,000 years, hasn't changed in the last 4,000 years, hasn't changed since the creation of the world. And when we see what he is like, that really does give us the power to change in ways that really do mean something. And so what I'm planning to do this morning is to go through Psalm 105, because between now and Easter, with a couple of little detours into 1 Corinthians, we're planning to spend quite a lot of time in the book of Exodus. And over the coming years, hopefully we'll come back to it. And we could have read all 40 chapters this morning to give an overview of it. I thought it'd be a little bit quicker to read Psalm 105 and just get a view of the book of Exodus and of the character of the living God from 30,000 feet, if I can put it like that. We'll hopefully walk through the book over the coming years, but today, 30,000 feet view. And Psalm 105 is our jumping off point. It is one of many places in the Bible that says if we want to understand who God is and what his salvation looks like, we've got to go back to the Exodus. And I'm going to pick it up. Oh, sorry, I had a slide for that. There we go. There we are. That was my very pretty slide to start with. There we go. Three headings this morning. I wish I could claim credit for them. They come from a friend who's much cleverer coming up with headings than I am. First off, the gods who delivers. What do you meet in Exodus, in the book of Exodus? First off, you meet the God who delivers, and I'm using the word delivers there in the sense of saves, rescues, not the kind of DPD, every kind of Royal Mail delivery. This is the God who saves, who delivers, who rescues. And that is chapters 1 to 18 of the book of Exodus. And in Psalm 105, it's verses 23 to 41. So the when you about verse 8 of Psalm 105, you get the story of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph that we've looked at over the last few years from the book of Genesis. And then we start the story with Israel as slaves in the nation of Egypt. This is, for many of us, I imagine, relatively familiar territory. If you've seen the film Prince of Egypt, when you think of the book of Exodus, if you've read it before, you're probably thinking pyramids, we're thinking Pharaoh, we're thinking Passover, the Red Sea, and dramatic escapes. We're going to hopefully spend good time in these chapters in the coming months, so I'm not going to spend too long on this morning, but I just want to point out one thing about verses 23 to 41, which is that God is the subject of almost every single verse in this section. So verse 24, the Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people. Verse 26, he sent Moses, Aaron, whom he had chosen. Verse 28, he sent darkness. Verse 29, he turned their waters into blood. Verse 31, he spoke and there came swarms of flies and gnats. Verse 32, he turned their rain into hail. Verse 33, he struck down their vines and fig trees. Verse 34, he spoke and the locusts came and the grasshoppers. Verse 36, then he struck down all the firstborn in the land, the first fruits of all their manhood. Verse 37, he brought out Israel. Verse 39, he spread out a cloud as a covering. Verse 40, they asked and he brought them quail. Verse 41, he opened the rock and the water gushed out. Why am I kind of over laboring that point? It is that all the initiative for salvation lies with the living God. That was true as the Israelites came out of Egypt. It's true if you are a Christian today. It was true in your story. It will be true for every moment of 2023. That it is the living God who unfolds his plan for the universe nanosecond by nanosecond this year. Nothing is going to happen outside of his control. And I just want to apply that in two directions. I guess it's possible that there will be someone here who's got the kind of Peloton instructor grab the bulls by the horn mindset for 2023. This is the year when I'm going to do whatever it is. And Psalm 105 just urges us to have the caution and the humility to say, this year is not in my control. It is in the hands of the living God. He is the one who will work out his plans. And my plans, well, I've got plans, but we'll see how they go. We'll see how they fit in with his plans. There may be someone who needs to hear that this morning. My guess is that most of us are kind of need to hear the opposite of that. I imagine many of us are just quite scared about what 2023 will bring. The news headlines are intimidating. Just looking around the church family, the health scares that a lot of people have been through over the last year, I guess will keep coming. What's the comforts of Psalm 105? It is that God is the one who is absolutely in control, takes all the initiative in salvation. He's sovereign over suffering. He's sovereign even over sin. Verse 25, whose hearts he turned to hate his people. He's not responsible for it, but he is in control. There's nothing that's going to happen this year outside of his plan. We need to trust the God who delivers as we head into the new year. Second, we need to submit to the God who demands. And we need to submit to the God who demands. Verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations. They fell heir to what others had toiled for. Why? Verse 45, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. So my guess is, when we think of the book of Exodus, if you've read through the Bible before or you know the book of Exodus, that might be the other thing we think of. There's Pharaoh and Moses and the chariots and the Red Sea. But then you have Mount Sinai and you have the giving of the law and the Ten Commandments inscribed by God's own finger on tablets of stone. This is the God who demands. He is the God who saves his people, and having saved them, then calls them to respond. The Ten Commandments start, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And the order there really matters. It's not that you guys have to be really good people to earn my salvation, and then I will bless you. Completely the other way around. As I have rescued you, as I have blessed you, I now call you to respond in obedience. Remember a friend saying to me years ago, Simon, you were saved to serve. Really helpful. You were saved to serve. Verse 45, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Why did God save a people? Well, because there was meant to be one people on earth who were different, whose lives were marked by the integrity and faithfulness of God himself. He showed the kind of wisdom and compassion and faithfulness of God. And that is the call on God's people through the ages. It's true today. We're trying to learn a catechism as a family. One of the questions is, how can we glorify God? And the answer is by loving him and obeying his commands and laws. And those are not two kind of separate things. It's not that there's the kind of really pious Christians who love God and the really kind of righteous Christians who keep his laws. Those two are always meant to go together by loving him. How do we love him? By keeping his laws. Jesus says, if you are my friends, you will obey what I command. And what's the application as we head into a new year? I don't know if you have made any resolutions for the new year. I really haven't spent enough time thinking about it. And I just want to encourage, I want to preach this to myself, as I want to encourage us all to think about, wouldn't it be wonderful in a year's time to be able to say we've grown spiritually, that we've made headway against whatever the particular temptations and struggles we're battling with at the moment are. Maybe there's one area of your life where you know that that's just a kind of just a consistent failure to live up to God's standards. And I'm not saying this as the Peloton instructor. I'm saying this as someone who's got all kinds of things that I know I need to work on. Why not pick one and find a friend you trust and ask them to pray with you as you head into the new year. I've got the staff team. I've asked them to pray for me as I'm faffing at the moment going to bed. I go to bed too late, partly because I just faff. That's where I get those kind of Peloton videos on YouTube. I kind of zone out for a few minutes each night, just kind of watching nonsense. And it's just a waste of time. And that's the socially acceptable one that I'm sharing from the front. We pick one area where we know we're not honoring God. Maybe it's our time, maybe it's our money, maybe it's whatever it is. Trust the God who delivers, and then will we submit to the God who demands? So the book of Exodus, we get the God who delivers. He takes his people out of slavery in Egypt, breaks the chains, takes them to the mountain, and breaks the chains of sin, calls them to obey him. But then you get it, if you've read through the book of Exodus, this weird bit at the end, it is the graveyard of a Bible reading in a year plans. You know, you read Genesis, it's full of really exciting stories. You get the Exodus, it's really dramatic. And then you get this weird bit about a tent. And especially if you don't like camping, you know, and even if you do, there's this tent and all this furniture, and you get all the instructions of how the Israelites are to make this tent. And then you get it all over again when they actually make it, and you're thinking, what is this doing here? How is this an appropriate climax to this really exciting story? Well, we've had the God who delivers, the God who demands, and the God who draws near. So that's a cutaway picture of the tabernacle, the tent that was right at the heart of God's people, at the center of the camp. What is it saying? It is saying, this is the God who draws near. Worship the God who draws near. Psalm 105, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he's done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Can you hear the crazy assumption behind those verses? That there is a God in heaven who has the power to destroy the most powerful nation on earth in one night. And we can draw near to him. We can gaze on his face. We can seek him. Not in the sense of kind of playing hide and seek, but in the way that a young man a generation ago might have talked of seeking a girl's hand in marriage. Or we might seek a friend's counsel. Going to seek the living God. It is possible to look to the Lord and not be incinerated by his holiness. So how is that possible for people like you and me who have not done verse 45? We haven't kept his precepts and observed his laws, not as wholeheartedly as we should have done. How is that possible? It is all because of that tent. See, that tent in the book of Exodus is just an extraordinary place. It is the place where heaven meets earth. It is where God himself dwells in the midst of his people. It is a place of sacrifice. It is a place of light. It is a place of prayer. It is a place of death. It is a place of life. And there, right at the intersection of heaven and earth, you have the priests standing guard to protect the people so that they can meet with the living God. The climax of Exodus chapter 40 is when God's presence comes and fills the tabernacle. And God himself is there dwelling in the midst of his people. And as we said, you know, the bad news is that you and I haven't changed since yesterday. The wonderful good news is that God hasn't changed either. He is still the God who loves to draw near. I don't know what you're longing for or dreading in 2023, but the heart of our message is this, isn't it? That God in Christ loves to draw near to people. It's what he does. He became flesh. In John chapter 1 verse 14, we didn't read it. The word became flesh, and our translations have dwelt among us. Literally, he tabernacled amongst us. See, everything the tabernacle spoke of was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is not a tent, but a man of light, of sacrifice, of death, of life. He is, in this extraordinary twist, no one sees coming. He is both the priest who offers the sacrifice and the victim who is offered at the cross. Isn't that astonishing? The living God dwells amongst his people by his Holy Spirit today. So that... I don't know. My guess is most of us are not in kind of Peloton mode, are we? Most of us are probably not pumped for 2023. Most of us are probably just quite tired and a bit worn down and thinking it's same old, same old. Look to the year ahead and we're still going through the motions. We're still, you know, carrying the burdens of the people around us. We're still trying to do our best and care for people. But we're kind of given up on the idea that any of it is particularly exciting. The idea that our lives were going to be particularly significant and mean very much. Well, we gave up on that idea a long time ago. What does the book of Exodus say? It says that in Christ, you stand at the very intersection of heaven and earth. Isn't that astonishing? You are in Christ a priest. Someone who is there to kind of show the living God to the world around us. We are, who are we? We are those who are who have been chosen and called in Christ. We are the ones who the living God chooses to make his home in us in Christ. We are the ones who are called, verse 1, to give thanks to him, to call on his name, to make known among the nations what he has done. So I'm really looking forward to this series in Exodus. But even as we start the year, what's it done? Book of Exodus tells us we're not in control. It tells us we're not in control. And that is a rebuke to us in some ways as we think we have our plans for 2023. But what a comfort that as we look at a world that is so out of control, there is a God who delivers. There's deep comfort there. There's a word of challenge, isn't there? For those of us who feel like throwing in the towel when it comes to fighting sin. There's just the call to get back in the fight as we follow the God who demands. What a wonderful thought that for all of us as we feel tired and ground down and that we're just in danger of going through the motions. We have the God who loves and longs to draw near. Amen.